Today is the second day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you. Now we've crossed the threshold into a new month, and here we are crossing the threshold into a brand new week. So welcome to all things new here. Our first full week of this seventh month of the year. And we will do what we always do. Gather together around the global campfire, find a place, get comfy, release the cares of this life, allow them to go away for this moment in time where we allow God to speak directly to us through His Word. And so let's launch into our new week by doing what we also do, picking up where we left off. And that happens to be the book of 2 Kings. And today we will read chapter 20, verse 1 through 22, verse 2. And we will read from the Evangelical Heritage Version, the EHV, this week. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was dying. Then the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, came to him and said, "This is what the Lord says. Give instructions to your house because you are going to die. You will not recover." Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Please, O Lord, remember how I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart and have done what is good in your eyes." Hezekiah wept bitterly. Isaiah had not yet gone out from the middle courtyard when the word of the Lord came to him. "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, that this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer, and I have seen your tears. I will certainly heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the house of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will rescue you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will protect this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." Then Isaiah said, "Get a cake of figs." So they got it and put it on the infected sore, and Hezekiah recovered. Then Hezekiah asked Isaiah, "What will be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I will go up to the house of the Lord on the third day from now?" Isaiah said, "This will be a sign for you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing which he said. Shall the shadow extend forward over 10 more steps, or shall it move backward 10 steps?" Hezekiah said, "It's easy for the shadow to get longer and cover 10 more steps. Instead, have it go back 10 steps." Then the prophet Isaiah called out to the Lord, and he caused the shadow, which had gone down the steps of Ahaz, to go backwards 10 steps. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, son of Baladan, the king of Babylon, sent letters and a gift to Hezekiah because he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. Hezekiah heard the envoys and showed them all his palace treasuries: the silver, the gold, the spices, the fine oil, the armory, and all that was found in his treasuries. There was nothing which Hezekiah did not show them in his palace or in his whole kingdom. Then Isaiah the prophet came to King Hezekiah and said, "What did these men say, and where did they come from?" Hezekiah said, "From a distant land. They came from Babylon." Then Isaiah asked, "What did they see in your palace?" Hezekiah said, "They saw everything in my palace. There is nothing in my treasuries which they did not see." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. Listen carefully. The days are coming when whatever is in your palace, everything which your fathers have stored up to this day, will be taken to Babylon. Not a thing will be left behind, says the Lord. And some of your sons, your own descendants, whom you fathered, will be taken away and will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good." He said, "Won't there be peace and security in my days?" As for the rest of Hezekiah's acts, and all his mighty deeds, how he made the pool and the channel and brought water into the city, are they not written in the annals of the kings of Judah? Hezekiah rested with his fathers, then his son Manasseh became king in his place. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the disgusting practices of the nations which the Lord had driven out before the people of Israel. He rebuilt the high places which his father Hezekiah had destroyed. He erected altars to Baal and made an Asherah pole, just as Ahab, king of Israel, had done. He bowed down to the whole army of the heavens, and he served them. He built altars in the house of the Lord, about which the Lord had said, "In Jerusalem I will put my name." He built altars to all the army of the heavens in the two courtyards of the house of the Lord. He made his son pass through the fire. He practiced fortune-telling and sought omens and dealt with mediums and spiritists. He greatly increased the evil he did in the eyes of the Lord and provoked him to anger. He put an image of Asherah, which he had made, into the house about which the Lord said to David and to his son Solomon, "In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen from all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. I will not make the feet of Israel wander again from the land which I gave to their fathers, if they will just be careful to do whatever I commanded them, and to observe the whole law which my servant Moses commanded them." But they did not listen. Manasseh led them astray so that they did more evil than the nations whom the Lord exterminated before the people of Israel. Then the Lord said through his prophets, "Because Manasseh, king of Judah, has engaged in these disgusting practices and has done more evil than all that which the Amorites who had gone before him had done, and he has caused Judah to sin with his filthy idols, therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Pay attention. I am bringing such disaster on Jerusalem and Judah that the ears of all who hear of it will tingle. I will stretch out over Israel the plumb line that was stretched out over Samaria and the level used on the house of Ahab. I will wipe away Jerusalem just as someone wipes a bowl clean and turns it upside down. I will hand over the remnant of my possession and give them into the hand of their enemies, so that they become plunder and spoils for all their enemies, because they have done what is evil in my eyes and have provoked me to anger from the day when their father came out of Egypt until today." Manasseh also shed so much innocent blood that he filled Jerusalem from end to end. This was in addition to this sin which he caused Judah to commit, so that they did what is evil in the eyes of the Lord. As for the rest of Manasseh's acts, everything he did and the sin he committed, are they not written in the annals of the kings of Judah? Manasseh rested with his fathers, and he was buried in the garden of his palace, in the garden of Uzzah. Then his son Amon became king in his place. Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Meshulameth, daughter of Haruz from Jotbah. He did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Manasseh had done. He walked in all the ways in which his father had walked, and he served the filthy idols which his father had served, and he worshipped them. He abandoned the Lord, the God of his fathers, and he did not walk in the way of the Lord. Amon's servants conspired against him, and they killed the king in his palace. Then the people of the land struck down all those who had conspired against King Amon, and they made his son Josiah king in his place. As for the rest of Amon's acts, the things he did, are they not written in the annals of the kings of Judah? They buried him in his own tomb in the garden of Uzzah. Then his son Josiah became king in his place. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, daughter of Adaiah from Bozkath. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right or to the left. Acts 21:18-36. The next day, Paul went with us to see James, and all the elders were present. After greeting them, he reported in detail each of the things God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. When they heard this, they praised God. Then they said to him, "You see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews who have believed, and all of them are zealous observers of the law. They have been informed that you teach all the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn away from Moses, since you are telling them not to circumcise their children or follow our customs. So what is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come. So do what we are going to tell you. We have four men who have taken a vow. Take them with you. Go through the ceremony of purification with them and pay their expenses so they can have their heads shaved. Then everyone will know that there is nothing to the reports that have been made about you, but that you yourself are carefully following the law. As for the Gentiles who believe, we have sent them a letter about the resolution that they should avoid food sacrificed to idols, blood, the meat of strangled animals, and sexual immorality." The next day, Paul took the men and went through the ceremony of purification with them. He entered the temple to announce the date when the days of purification would end and the offering would be made for each of them. When the 7 days were almost over, Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul in the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, shouting, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who teaches everyone everywhere against our people and our law, and against this place. And now he has brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place." They had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, in the city with him and assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple. The whole city was stirred up, and the people rushed together as a mob. They seized Paul, dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the gates were shut. While they were looking for a way to kill him, a report went up to the commander of the cohort that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. He immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. When they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the commander approached Paul, arrested him, and gave an order that he should be bound with two chains. He asked who Paul was and what he had done. Some in the crowd were shouting one thing and some another. Since the commander could not find out the truth because of the uproar, he ordered his men to take Paul away to the barracks. When he came to the steps, Paul had to be carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob. A large number of people that was following kept shouting, "Away with him!" Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the expanse that shows His might. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him according to His abundant greatness. Praise Him with a blast of the ram's horn. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with hand drums and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and the flute. Praise Him with the sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 18:9-10. A person who fails to do his work is a brother to a vandal. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. A righteous person runs inside and is protected. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that your name is a strong tower, and we run to it and are protected. We thank you for that. As we get ourselves moved into this new month and begin launching this brand new week out in front of us, those are words that we will take with us. Your name is a strong tower. The righteous person runs inside and is protected. Holy Spirit, come as we continue this journey forward into month number 7. Day by day, step by step, we invite your Holy Spirit here in the second half of the year, that you would lead us into all truth, that you would show us the narrow path that leads to life, that you would lead us on the pathways of peace, and that the fruit of your Spirit might be bountiful in our hearts, spilling out into the world, as we get the grand adventure of collaborating with you and revealing you to the world. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.
Sup, DAB family. This is TAC from Atlanta, son of Pray Without Ceasing. And, you know, I heard some interesting calls today on the June 27 podcast. But that kind of led me to tell a story. The second time that I met my father-in-law, I'm in the car with him alone, and he slams on the brakes. And I'm, like, on my phone. So I look up, and I look in the rear view, you know, the passenger rear view mirror to see what happened behind us, and I saw nothing. So now I turn to the left, and I see my father-in-law. He was not my father-in-law at the time, but my father-in-law staring at me. All right? And then he proceeds to, like, cuss me out. This is the second time I met him. I'm on a family vacation with him and his family. He's going in. This was the first incident of many for 6 years and counting of disrespectful interactions between me and my father-in-law. But I believe her name was Without a Dove. I know her name. I hear her all the time. So forgive me for forgetting right now, but, you know, she said, you know, she was just livid, and you would have never thought it was her, how upset she was at her son. That's how you would have thought of me if you had saw how I interacted the last time I interacted with my father-in-law. But as far as me and my spirit, I'm cool. I'm okay. But I wanted to call because I wanted to pray for him. Sometimes when stuff happens and when people lash out at you constantly and pick at you constantly, yeah, it could be of the enemy, but at the same time, it could not be about you, and it could be a bigger picture. And I just ask you guys for your prayers and encouragement for my father-in-law to get better.
Hello, my DAB family. This is Mark Street from Sydney, Australia. Today is Tuesday, the 27th of June. And I am just calling in to ask for prayer for me. I'm about to put my resignation in for my job that I've been there for 10 years. I have had prophetic word saying God will look after me. What I'm doing is probably does not make any human sense to me to do, but I'm going to be starting my own business, and I think that is what God is calling me to do. But I also know that it may be my own human thinking, so I'm asking you to pray for me to God that if that's not his will for me, that he that will reveal to me what he wants me to do, and that I will be sensitive to his calling and change directions without feeling anxiety, as there is definitely fear there. So please pray for the fear I have of what I'm doing. But I feel definitely compelled to leave because of health issues as well. I love you all, family. Mark Street from Sydney, Australia. Bye.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. It's Jay from Clarksville, Tennessee. Just calling in for prayer today. You know, the Lord's been good. He's really blessed me. He's given me my degree. He's given me my job. He's given me my home. And these are all things that I've prayed for. And now I'm faced with having all of these things and being single. And it's been a challenge because, you know, years and years ago, there was no such thing as a dating app. So you had to physically talk to somebody, get to know them, meet them in person, you know. Today it's, you know, it's all digital. So you're spending all of your time on these apps with, people who present themselves in a way that's not necessarily who they are. So I'm praying for myself and I'm praying for any brother or sister out there that is single and has dedicated themselves to the Lord, mind, body, and spirit. And I want to thank the Lord for the time that he has blessed me through the power of the Holy Spirit to truly follow him with my body, because that has been the struggle of my life. And so for me to stand here today and not be giving myself to other people physically, it's a miracle. So I thank the Lord for that. And so let's pray. Father, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we are so grateful for your strength and your will and the power that comes in the name of Jesus Christ. So we call upon you now, O God, to hear our hearts, hear our desires for a good wife, good husband, a God-fearing wife, a God-fearing husband, Lord, and just continue to strengthen us to resist temptation during this time as we are prepared for our future spouse. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
This is Candace from Oregon. This call is about my grandson, my daughter's teenage son. He started having a lot of problems. I mean, he's always had mild, more usual problems, ADHD and such. But a month ago, it started getting really strange, intermittently. By the time we got, as I speak to you, it's Tuesday, 10 p.m. By the time we got to last Saturday, she needed help. I came over to stay overnight with them. He's just not making any sense at all. Long story short, we tried to get him into a hospital, actually earlier on Saturday. I must have come over there early Saturday. And anyway, it was an arduous thing. Because he turned 18 Sunday night, I think, was part of the problem. One hospital couldn't keep him because he wasn't 18 yet, and the next hospital that they referred us to wouldn't keep him for no discernible reason. He got worse. Then we realized we would have to get help, that we couldn't safely transport him ourselves because he was getting worse. He got to where he didn't recognize his mom anymore, did not know who she was. Please pray. Please pray. He's in the hospital. He's not getting better yet. Thank you.
Thank you.